Good evening.
Good evening.
In trying to decide what to preach and when, I can try to consider the audience, and I consider the Sunday night audience to be a little more together spiritually, to have a little more, I guess one word would be sophistication, but a little more understanding of Christian responsibility, a little more willingness to sacrifice, a little more willingness to discipline oneself in a particular direction. Therefore, able to handle a little better meat than what the typical Sunday morning audience might be able to handle. And tonight's lesson is, even though it's very basic, probably, if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, he'd say it's still milk. But for us, and especially us in America, it's meat. It's some hard stuff to swallow. And I'm saying that as one that the Lord has fed through the years, and yes, I've choked on it a few times. What do you do with self? What do you do with self? You go back to the garden, and yeah, I've talked about this a lot. Probably going to talk about it till I die, because it answers so much that we need to know. Go back to the garden, Adam and Eve, grown-ups, made grown-up. People talk about how old is the universe. Well, it was made a grown-up universe, wasn't it? But it was made in the 6 days of time. Our God can do that. So Adam and Eve are grown up. They're able to have children if they want. And in fact, God tells them to. But he doesn't pressure them to. It's not a push. He doesn't say, I expect children nine months from now, or anything like that in the garden. It's up to them to grow into these things. And isn't that a loving God? Just a gentle-handed Lord to make us able, but then say, get to it as you can. Which is why I'm convinced he didn't say, now get yourself over to the tree of life right now. And get that eaten. He didn't do that. The point was to grow to that point. So how are they in their innocence? Self-concern? Well, yes, of course. That's what they know to do. If they're hungry, they eat. If they're tired, do they sleep? And yes, they would be tired. If something hurt them, they would find out what the problem was and not do that anymore. If they, you know, stumped their toe or stepped on a stop or something like that. This is normal. This is natural. It's the way God made us. If Adam's hungry and he finds something to eat, is he going to keep it from Eve? Well, no. No, not at all. He's not inclined in that direction. He doesn't think about doing that. If he says, I'm hungry, I'm going to go get something to eat, and she says, well, I'm hungry too, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to go together and find something to eat, because that's what you do in that state, in that human state. The knowledge of good and evil turns all that on its head. It activates the conscience. It adds an intellectual sense of determination to the individual. And something takes over that doesn't. It's there before, but it doesn't dominate. Doesn't need to dominate. But once you get the knowledge of good and evil, it dominates. And that is self. Now, because of sin, you lose the paradise. You lose the tree of life, at least for the time. And now you have to scratch out a little. Now the crops may grow, they may not. Now you may be able to eat a particular time, or you may not. Now, having food becomes a real issue, now feeding your belly becomes the thing that you have to think about doing. If you don't, who will? Right? And then if somebody else comes by your side, maybe your wife, maybe your children, maybe your neighbor, and says, well, I'm hungry too, you don't immediately go say, well, let's go get something to eat. You stare at them and say, well, you're not getting any of mine. I worked hard for that. Do you see what I did to my hands to get that? Do you know what it took to get what we've got? You go get your own. And for a long time, society rocked along, civilization rocked along. Then men began to realize, okay, the woman's useful if I keep her where I need her, or where I want her. And so there's this ambitious effort of control. So, don't have to worry about her. So yeah, I'll feed her when she's useful. Well, what would determine such an outrageous perversion of what God made at the beginning? Self. Self-concern. Feminist movement is something I've railed against here for a long time. But the feminist movement had legs because, had a punch to it, because men's domination of self was so obvious. And the reason self could do so much with, you know, man to woman is because the man overpowers the woman. It's the way, again, we're made. But made for an ambitious and ugly purpose. Not God's fault. It's not what he had in mind. But we, as the text says, we've sought out many schemes. And then it's not just the partner that's in your home. It becomes that neighbor over there. I know he's scheming to take everything I've got. I'm going to make sure he doesn't do that. Why did Cain kill Abel? Well, this is why. This is it. Self is threatened, so self must defend itself. Even to murder. Well, it's self-defense. You don't understand, Cain would say. I was losing my place with God because of him. Get him out of the way, God has to accept me. Okay. Didn't work. But that's how we think. Neighbor gets in the way, you kill them. Or you deceive them. Or you distract them. Anything to protect self. All right. Jesus comes along. Matthew 16 is the best place to find it. And lives a totally selfless life. When we talk about unconditional love, we are talking about a man who demonstrated true caring for others without any consideration of self. I don't mean he wasn't selfish. I mean self was not ever the point with our Lord. If anyone had a right to advance self, it was Jesus. I mean, how many times have we said it? The universe is made for him. It's all made for him. He had it already. The Father gave it already into his hands. Why couldn't he come and strut his stuff? Because it wasn't the Father's will. And Jesus had emptied himself, not just of his divine prerogatives, but of himself, so that he could serve the Father in the flesh. Appropriate. He had to what now? Hebrews 5? Had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered. Why did that happen? What? The Son of God has to learn? When you're a man. And then he says what? Now, don't worry about the chronology here. The point is the principle. Being a little Jewish here. Matthew chapter 16. Talking about the wonderful kingdom that will be established at this proper time. Rebuking Peter. Now, that's interesting. Let's talk a little bit about that. From that time, Jesus began to show the disciples, this is verse 21, that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. To be raised means to stand back up. He'll be killed, but then he'll stand back up on the third day. That's what resurrection means. In the Greek, I didn't realize that until recently. Then Peter took him, isn't it nice Peter takes him aside? He don't want to publicly embarrass his Lord. But he's, you know, gonna help Jesus understand that he's missing something here. Didn't quite have something straight. So he takes him aside and he says, "Far be it from you, Lord. Not so, God." How many times did Peter say that? This shall not happen to you. Now, it's almost like Peter's thinking, Jesus is saying, you guys are going to fail me and I'm going to be dragged into the hands of my enemies and they're going to treat me terribly and then I'm going to die. Resurrection didn't dawn on him. Peter didn't know what that meant. But this is what he's trying to tell him, I think, is you don't get it. You don't get it, Lord. We're ready to die for you. You have trained us well. We are your men. Of course we're not going to let that happen to you. So get that out of your head. Okay. And Jesus says, well, thank you, man. That helps me so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. No, your Bible didn't read that one. Neither does mine. But that's how we are. Because, see, Peter was stroking Jesus' ego. Wasn't he? We're yours to the death. I mean, it's what a Roman soldier would say to his Caesar. Peter's ready to say it to his Messiah. And Jesus turns to him and says, out of my sight, Satan. Oh, to Simon Peter? Yeah. You just gave him the keys to the kingdom, Lord. Now what is this? You are an offense to me. Can be stumbling block. You're a stumbling block. You know what that stumbling block strong implies? Especially when you have Mark say that Jesus looks at the other disciples before he answers people. It means Jesus is considering what Peter said. He's thinking about it. But then he turns to the folks, not just Peter, but the folks that are going to be lost. If he doesn't do this, go to the cross, learn this lesson. And then he has what he needs to turn back to Peter. And boy, what it is. Out of my sight, Satan, you're an offense to me. For you're not looking at the things of God, but the things of men. What's that? What's Peter's standard? What's framed this whole conversation? The things of men. What is that? Ego and self. Ego and self. So then he gets all of them around. And here we go. Verse 24. If anyone comes after me, or desires to come after me, is what the text says. If you're going to follow me, if you want to be my follower, here's what you're going to do. You're going to deny yourself. And take up your cross and follow me. For he who seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, the same will find it or save it. Depending when Jesus is saying this. And then, you know, the passage that preaches really well, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? And then the promise of the judgment, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward each according to his works. Very clear. Preaches really well. I don't know that we get it, though. Even after all the preaching that I've done on it, don't know if I fully get it. Because self has a terrible way of rearing its ugly head inside of me. And of course, Satan does his work well. It's always for the better good, you see, when I think about myself. Always for the better good. Always for the holier cause, the righteous stand, that I would think about self. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Well, where is he going? Well, he just told them in verse 21. He's going to Golgotha. To do what? To die. To have himself put to death. But why? Because this is what it takes to save the world. To save every human being. Back to Adam, all the way forward to the end of time. This is what it takes. This is the price. And so if you're going to be Jesus' disciple, what are you going to do? You're going to applaud him as he goes to Golgotha. You're going to say, praise the Lord, I'm so proud you're doing this. Lord, I know your Father's going to take good care of you. Go ahead and get this done, and then when we get to the other side of it, we can all live together forever. Is that it? I don't know. Why do we miss self-crucifixion so easily? But we did. Self-crucifixion was never taught to me, and I grew up under the influence of the church. This passage was quoted repeatedly in sermons that I heard, but nothing was ever put forward to explain self-crucifixion, which is what this passage is demanding if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus. Why? Why? Self-crucifixion. Lord, I thought you loved what you made. Well, he does. But he can't take it to heaven the way it is. Jesus died for me. Sure did. So you could become a new creature. Wonder what that means. Well, there's one in there, a book out, From the Inside Out. New from the Inside Out. Well, that's part of what's being discussed here. To be a new creature means God has to remake you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? How do I make it really easy to get? It means you've taken care of self. And you have the tools to do it. Without Christ, you don't have the tools. With Christ, you do. So not just the hell problem is taken care of, but the sin problem is taken care of. Because you learn how to get self out of the way. What yields to temptation? Your ego. That Satan is really good to stroke. You end up so caught up in it, you can't live without it. You have to have it. Who is you? Me, my happiness. What I must do to be fulfilled. What you're talking about is sin. It can't be sin, because God wants me.
What's that about?
Want you happy. God loves me. He cares. Oh, all right. You know what the drunks would tell me all the time? When I try to help them get out of their seat. I ain't going to hell. God loves me. God understands what I've been through. He knows. He knows my heart and always, always. What's the problem? Self. Self keeps getting in the way. Somebody says, I can't live a Christian life here. I'm going to a Tibetan monastery. I'll live the Christian life there. I can handle it there. Is that going to work?
Yeah.
No, it won't. Because who are you taking? Yourself. You're taking yourself to the bed. So guess who's going to have a problem with sin? Self in Tibet. It won't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go off. I'm going to go into space. I'm going to live on a colony on Mars. And we're going to a whole new world. And there won't be sin there. Yeah, keep telling yourself that. And after you've been there 6 months, guess what you're going to have to overcome? Sin, because you didn't overcome self. I've mentioned this before. All the religions of the world, including all the various permutations of divided Christianity, are about self-improvement. You know why they're doomed to fail? It's in the title. It doesn't get rid of self, it exalts self. Every time self is exalted, you lose. When you exalt yourself, you lose. That's why Satan did what he did. And that's why then Jesus had to do what he did. It really does come down to that. All right, so real quick, what do you do with self? You recognize who the enemy is? The enemy is self. What about self? Well, it's love of the world, its own ambition, its envy, because self must be fulfilled. It's lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Why do we worry about lust to begin with? Because we've got to stroke self. Got to do for self. Love yourself! Nothing has been more damning to modern America than the heinous doctrine of you must love yourself. Teach yourself to love yourself. It was straight from hell that came from. You already love yourself. You were born loving yourself. You don't have to be trained to love yourself. That's, again, a tool of Satan to make sure you never get rid of self. So then you never conquer sin. So sin does end up having dominion over you. You can't shake it. So preachers end up saying, you confess your sin. You confess your sin. And so every prayer then has to end with, and Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive. We can pray it 15 times in the service, and every time we think it must be done. Why? Because if I'm going to die, I want to die with a prayer on my lips. And what's that prayer going to be? Lord, forgive me my sins. So it's not Jesus who saves you. It's the magic phrase. Lord, forgive me my sins. That's what's going to do. Well, no. No, it won't. And if our salvation is dependent on mouthing a phrase instead of trusting our Savior, we won't get in, will we? Because you're saved by faith. You're saved by faith. You have to trust. Richard's been going through on Sunday morning the promises. It's a great study. Great study. You got to trust what God promises you. You have to have God involved enough with you so that you can have the courage to get self out of the way. We're too wrapped up in ego. Too wrapped up. It's how we're made. So we have to have a reason to be able to put self to death. And God says, I'm your reason. I love you. You're not going to throw away anything that you need. I'll make sure you have everything you need. And then when I come back, you get self back. You know, you get your life back when Jesus comes back. Colossians 3, first few verses. So it's not destroying self. It's keeping self at bay, contained, so you can control it. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Part of the fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. You do that when you've got self in its proper place. And that means dead and buried as far as your thinking about you is concerned. So, it's what you have to die to. You die to this world. And this world dies to you. And it's about what you kill. Put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth. All relating to self. And don't forget this. You remember what baptism's for? We start this way, or we're supposed to. You bury the old man so you can rise up with the new man made in the image of Christ. Well, how are you able to do that? You're able to take on the shape of Christ within you in your thinking, because the old way is buried in the water. It's supposed to stay in the water. But that old man has a terrible tendency to do what? Rear up that ugly head and smile at us and say, you miss me yet? You miss me? And how foolish we are to go, I miss you so much. Being a Christian has been so hard. I haven't gotten any of the goodies that I used to get when you were around. Can you help me get a few goodies? And yourself will go, oh, of course. I'm all about goodies. Not too many. We won't overdo it. And you'll always have control of it. Really? No, you give in to the goodies. And the goodies control. There is no self-control. So always keep in mind, the old man can pop up at any time. Let me take you to a very special statement. You have to hear it. John chapter 12. And it's the same discussion. In John, it is the same context as what Matthew presented. John chapter 12. The context is further seen when Jesus says, and now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. That is the cross, the hour of the cross. But Jesus prays, he goes on to say, for this purpose I came to this hour. Then he prays, Father, glorify your name. And the Father responds, from heaven I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Okay, before there, verse 23. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He graduates because he has learned his lesson of obedience. The glorification is the graduation. Most assuredly, amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, if it's allowed to decompose and that shell to fall away, then the life in the seed takes hold. If it dies, it produces much grain, many seeds. Here it is. Verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. There's that again. And he who hates his life, listen, he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And there it is, folks, what I've been telling you. You get self out of the way, and God says, I'll take care of you, and I'll make sure you lose nothing. Satan, though, says, if you get rid of yourself, how will you be loved? How will you be honored? You'll starve to death because you won't even feed yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to have self as the center. You have to. You hear that? All the time. Out there. The Holy Spirit says differently. The Holy Spirit says, if you'll be wise enough, smart enough, faithful enough to hate your life here, then you get it back forever. You get it back forever. All right, so what's the practical upshot? What do we do? Don't have any treasure down here. It is that simple. No treasure for self. No treasure for self. All your treasure is going to be put in the hands of your Lord Jesus in heaven with you, where it is safe. Your treasure down here is always vulnerable, which is why so many of us live in constant fear and dread. Oh, they're going to take my Social Security. Oh, they're going to take my insurance. Oh, they're going to take my savings. They're going to take my 401k. Oh no. They're going to take my nice car. You make the list yourself, you know. Now you could lose all that, couldn't you? The point is not that you couldn't lose it. The point is it won't. Ultimately, it won't matter. Because what cares about that has been put to death and buried. That just sounds dumb to me. I don't understand that part. Then you need to reintroduce yourself to Christ and the cross. Because it is the logical conclusion of loving a crucified Savior, who himself had to learn the same lesson that we have to learn. Put your treasures in heaven and mean it. Have enough self-awareness, have enough awareness about things that you know ultimately what's down here doesn't matter. And you're going to have to let it go when? When you live. Oh, I can keep some of it.
No, you can't.
You really can't. Well, I'm not going to die.
Oh, yes, you are.
None of Satan's little tricks. If you put self in the right place, none of Satan's tricks are going to have much. He might come off from the side, knock you off your horse occasionally, but it won't be a constant thing. It can't be. Because what is tricky is you've solved. Ultimately, put it this way. Somebody puts a gun to your head and says, I think we've talked about this a lot. We're going to pull the trigger if you confess Christ. Now splatter your brains all over these walls. If you've learned to bear yourself, is that going to bother you? What are you going to say?
Don't pull the trigger. Don't pull the trigger. I don't want. No, not my brain. I like my brain.
No, you're going to say, you do what you need to do, what you believe you need to do. But I am going to confess Christ as my Lord. And I will to the end. And you're going to say it without hesitation. Because you've learned to do what? Get self out of the way. And put your treasures where? Waiting on you in eternity. So that there's nothing down here for you.
What about my loved one? What about all those ones that were so close?
Help them be ready to go. Help them to learn what you had to learn so they can be with you in eternal, rich glory. Well, there it is. person to help them. Go home and pray about this. Study it further. Self-crucifixion, putting to death your members on the earth. Study that. You know what's in just about every letter of Paul? Chew on it hard. Because ultimately, whether you succeed in the Christian life, whether I succeed in the Christian life, totally depends on what you do with it. So, if you're here and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation for your soul's sake, come now while we stand.
All things are ready.